France.
And I am France, and we just want to pop your ass.
Welcome to Health and Wellness Wednesdays on Rush to Reason.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time, and I'd get them lodged right in this region here.
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people just don't shoot their husbands.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
I'm sorry that I'm fat.
All right, we are ready for Health and Wellness Wednesday, and got a lot to cover today outside of health and wellness, which we'll get into in the second and third hour, of course. Impossible question yesterday. Let me get that really quick. How much money does the average family waste per year by throwing away unused food? Believe it or not, it's $3,000 a year. I'll do the question of the day today here in just a little bit. I've got a very special guest joining me. Jendai Harris is joining us. She was on with us here, oh, a little over a month ago, I want to say, Jendai. So thanks for coming back. And I know Charlie said 15 minutes, but I was planning on spending a little more time with you because we were short on time last time, and I wanted to have enough time today to really get into some of the things that you cover, not only in your book, but just what you do as far as a you know, health coach, wellness coach, and so on. But welcome back, Jendai.
Thank you so much, Don. Happy for Wellness Wednesday.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. As you know, we do this each and every Wednesday, and you, again, you joined us here in the past. And for all of you listening, Jendai's got several different things going on, not just one, but you wrote a book here of late called Chubby Church, and there's books one and two of that. And folks, you can actually go to her website and buy that, and we'll have all those links up on the website later for you all as well. But last time, Jendai, you were on, again, we just talked briefly, and again, I wanted to have you back, A, because you're local, and I'll be the first to admit I like local people because I like to support those of us that are here along the Front Range area as much as I possibly can. You are one of those. But you're also a licensed professional, you know, counselor, board-certified health coach. I don't get a lot of those types of individuals to join us. I get a lot of people that specialize in different areas, but not so much the overall like what you do.
Awesome. Well, yeah, on thechubbychurch.com, you can go to my website. Yeah, I love health, love researching. I've health coached and been into this arena. And I started out with health coaching, actually, and that led me to the emotional side and the therapy side, because so much of it is actually linked together. Yeah. You know, we look at heart disease or diabetes, but we don't look at, like, the broken heart, you know, the things that have broken your heart, the disappointments throughout life, the emotional grief you may be carrying, because life can be tough, right? So,
yeah, and by the way, that's part of the reason why, you know, I wanted to have you back as well, because we touched on some of that, you know, last time you were on. But I know personally from, you know my story and losing weight, you know, back in 2010, I kind of started that journey. And for me, it's a continual journey, to your point a moment ago. It never changes. That emotional side is always there, and I'm an emotional eater. I'm luckily never been addicted to drugs or alcohol or any of that. For me, food has always been sort of that comfort, if you would. And so I have to always watch, you know, my end of things when it comes to these things. And I think it's very important to what you said a moment ago, that people, A, identify that that's in their life, because frankly, Jendai, I think it's there for more people than we probably want to realize. Really quick, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, by the way. I'm not trying to accuse anybody of anything, Jendai, but I just think that we, because the way our bodies function, the way we're made, by the way our creator made us, food is something that we have to have. It's substance. But beyond that, let's face it, God made things, I believe he made things very tasteful. We have taste buds for a reason. If we were meant to eat just blasé things every day, Jendai, we wouldn't have taste buds, would we?
No, we wouldn't. So yeah, food's meant to enjoy, for sure.
And I don't want to criticize anybody that likes enjoying it, but I also know that if we enjoy too much of the wrong things at the wrong times, it can affect us negatively.
Right, and enjoying so much that it really becomes a detriment to your health and wellness.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a moment. And I know if for everybody listening, please, I know personally, Jendai, there's no one size fits all. And I know that's even true when it comes to certain types of diets and different things. Now, there are some generalities that I know are true across the board. Sugar, for example, we all know, no matter who you are, sugar is a bad thing, period. I don't care what walk of life you come from, what your background is, sugar is not good for us. So that's kind of a blanket statement. But I know, Jen Dye, as we get into some of the other areas of food and so on, it can be very individualized. I know there's some blanket statements and exercise and sugar and so on, but I also know that you really need to understand yourself, your body, and that's where people like you as a coach come along to help folks really determine what's going on in their own world, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So just to get really crystal clear on the changes you need to make, because it's very hard, you know, it's great, right, if you have the capacity, the strength, the wherewithal to overhaul your current lifestyle and eating if you're in a rough position. But most people really need to take it step by step, day by day, in order for it to be effective and take lasting change. And they need that specific information to them, how they eat, times they eat, what they eat, how they prepare food. So lifestyle is a major factor, and that's where health coaching comes in, Don, because, you know, and you have a health coach, you're able to walk step by step and really have those recommendations geared to you in a way that will work effectively. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if I just go online, I can find an eating plan, but will I stick to it?
Right.
Will it be the right plan for me? Will it go with the issues I'm having, you know, that run in the family, et cetera?
You know, the other thing, too, I think at times we sort of, and this is maybe where you can help straighten me out and tell me if I'm right, wrong, or otherwise, but I think a lot of times people look at losing weight much like people that are addicted to drugs or alcohol are when it goes, you know, when it comes to something like rehab. Now, the difference, though, between somebody getting off of drugs or alcohol and coming, you know, through and out of rehab is drugs and alcohol are something we don't need. Food is something, as I said earlier, we have to sustain life on a daily basis. So to me, and again, right, correct me if I'm wrong, but learning how to get away from some of the quote-unquote food addiction some of us may have is really harder, even if you ask me, it's harder than even getting rid of drugs or alcohol.
Well, thankfully, I don't know.
Me neither, because I've never been down that path. But I do know that food is something that we have to have daily, which to me means it has to be harder to discipline yourself in that area than it even is in drugs and alcohol. And again, like you, I don't know because I've never been down that path,
yeah.
So I don't want to make a comparison that's not real. But to me, food becomes something that you're having to deal with daily.
Yeah, that's so true. Here's the thing, though. It's like, it's not like, we're not addicted, you know, to broccoli or cabbage. You know, if the doctor said, never eat cabbage again, you'd be just
true.
Fine.
True.
You know, if the doctor said to you, no baked goods, no more sticky buns and muffins and cookies, that's when you have a problem and want a second opinion and get an attitude. Because it's not all food, right? It's like food addiction sometimes is laughable to some because they're like, you know, we have to eat. Right, but you do have to eat. The problem is that certain ingredients do addict us, and they're made to be that way because there's something called a bliss point, which is unique for each type of processed food and beverage. It's a scientific formula of the exact amount of sugar, which is usually high fructose corn syrup, okay, fat, and refined oils, and also refined salt that make a really, really great edible creation craveable, right? So that you'll buy it again. Because if you're a big company, you want profitability.
That's right.
You want profitability. So the best way to get profits is to make food addicts. Food addicts are the best frequent shoppers. So certain foods, like chocolate, for example, one of the most addictive foods in the world, richest food in the world, most sold food in the world, ice cream, french fries, pizza, cookies, chips, cake, these are all the type of foods that we actually do not need. However, we get a lot of pleasure from them.
True.
And the human is wired for pleasure. We want things that feel good. And unfortunately, when they are too feeling good, it overtakes the brain, and then you don't eat the types of food listed in Genesis 1:29-30. We want to eat much more of what I call food truth. Like in every single diet plan, lifestyle plan, you're going to have fruits and vegetables. And that is the key to your nutrition. So I almost want to say, you know, get your nutrition in first in the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like get the nutrition in as early as you can.
Okay.
And then what it's going to do, when you have green vegetables, like for example, I always recommend to clients to reset their energy and health, because fatigue is kind of your first sign that there is a problem, right? When your energy, you're feeling exhausted, you're not thinking as clear, like that's the sign, okay, I have a problem, you have a problem, and it just gets worse over time if you don't correct it. So I love to do like, you know, smoothie fast and things of that nature. So one of the things you can do right away is to get your energy and brain back and to reduce cravings in the thylakoids and green vegetables is you put like 3 or 4 cups of spinach or power greens, you know, from the bin, or kale or some kind of rich dark green leafy, a couple of 1 or 2 bananas to your taste, and even a whole pack of fruit, like literally, like you could do a half or whole pack of frozen fruit of your choice, and blend that up with water. And you have, you're resetting your body first thing in the morning, getting tons of minerals and nutrients that actually stop some of the cravings that are happening for the junk foods that addict you and cause binge eating, you know? So that's one of the tips that I want to offer today, is just working on focusing on your nutrition and what you can have, and added foods, added nutrition versus what you can't, is one of the ways you can get around these cravings.
Okay. One thing I want to do, I want to take a quick break, come back. I want you to... For a lot of folks listening, I was one of these as well. I mean, I've said this for years. It's sort of like, I had an old pastor of mine that used to talk about how he never preached on people stopping smoking, because he's like, I don't need to preach on that. Everyone that smokes knows they need to stop. I don't have to tell them. They already know. And I think the same thing applies to some of us that are not as fit maybe as we should be, Jen Dye, or even overweight to a point. No one has to tell you. You can look in the mirror and know that, listen, I'm not the way that I need to be. So nobody needs to tell you that. What I want to talk about when I come back, though, is what's that first step? I mean, I know what it was for me, but what's that first step for people, and how do they get over that first hurdle in going down the path even you just mentioned a moment ago? We'll come back. Jen Dye Harris, again, is with us, author of Chubby Church. And Jen Dye, real quick, one more time, what's that website folks can go to find your books?
TheChubbyChurch.com.
Perfect.
TheChubbyChurch.com. All right. Audible, Kindle, Amazon.
You awesome.
Order it there.
All right. We'll be right back.
Listen online, KLZRadio.com. Back to Rush to Reason.
All right. We are back. Jen Dye Harris again. She is author of The Chubby Church. There's two different books. She's also a certified coach, and really in this particular area that we talk about on Wednesdays here on Health and Wellness Wednesday, this is literally, Jen Dye, what you do on a regular basis, a licensed professional counselor and so on, certified health coach. Jen Dye, I asked you before we went to break, for folks that are out there listening, they're looking in the mirror and they're like, yeah, okay, John, yeah, I know I'm up a little bit in weight, but you know, I figure, you know, what's 5 pounds a year? It's not that big a deal unless you do it 10 years in a row. And now it's 50 pounds, Jen Dye, which, by the way, was me back in the day. Only I did that for about 10 years and ended up being 100 pounds overweight. So I know how this works. It doesn't come on all at once and it doesn't come off all at once. How do people, though, make that first step?
Yeah, one first step you can make is just eating real food. So start with eating real food, meaning stuff that you can make from home. You can make really quick meals that are super good from home. I love to teach like 5-minute meals.
Okay.
So that's one of the first thing, is really allowing yourself to focus on your, what am I going to eat, right? Having that clarity of plan and real food.
Okay. Now I know from, you know, again, this was a long time ago that I actually went through that initial process. And I will tell you that doing even what you're talking about and getting rid of the junk and starting on real food and sort of going through that transition, if you would, personally, I had huge withdrawals, you know, getting off of sugar and just going down that path. Those first 2 or 3 days were not fun. And I will just tell people, you got to stick with it, because if you give in to the temptation, you're going to be right back where you started from.
Yeah, food addiction is really can get really severe and always leads to a hospital bed. And you know when there's an addiction if you're binge eating, you know. So if you have the cycle of, for example, like every addiction, everything that's considered an addiction will have 3 phases. And so the first part is to crave. The second is to binge. And the third is to withdraw. It's good for your body to crave, like from a real nutritional place, you know, how you eat healthy and then all of a sudden you're craving salads in a good way. But when you're craving at all costs, that binge food, the food that you can get out of control on, that you tend to eat quickly, that usually sears up a bunch of other food thoughts. That's when you're dealing with binge eating issues, okay? And so we want to reduce that. And the way to reduce it is to get the stuff out of your system, you know, as soon as you can. Cleansing your system from it, like you said, the more you can get it out, you won't crave it. And then all of a sudden, the emotional eating and food issues go away because the substances, salt, the refined salt, the sugar, the, you know, could be just oils and fats, you know, combinations, flour. So there's certain foods that will stimulate addictive voice for some brain. And if not you, it's your brain. It's the way the food's made.
Good point.
So just not blaming yourself. Another step, kind of along as a first one, too, it's like a 1B, is body image, you know, loving your body. And this is where the Satan really wants to confuse you in your identity and cause people to hate on themselves, their face, their features, to an obsessive degree, where they're blocked from wearing, let's say, a short sleeve shirt because they don't like their arms, or shorts because they don't like their legs. So you really want to focus, too, on smiling in the mirror. I know it's simple, but just validating yourself and validating how God made you. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous as I look, and really embracing your body, because a negative body evaluation, or basically body shaming, is actually a precursor to eating poorly, right? You eat the bag of popcorn, you feel really bloated and terrible. So what do? You grab for another, you know, a bunch of Slurpees or something.
Right.
So it's just kind of like that cycle. So you want to break that body shame cycle as well. It's a really important step as well.
What I'm hearing you say as well, and again, going down this path myself, I know this, you also have to get to a point where just psychologically, you know, you're at a point where if I don't do something different, this is going to continue to get worse and worse and worse, and I'm not going to ever break this pattern, if you would. So psychologically, even, Jendai, you, as far as I'm concerned, you have to get to a point where you know I have a problem and I need to fix this.
Right, exactly, and be willing. And it's so hopeless, though, too, John. You know, like when you're really dealing with these food struggles, you feel absolutely hopeless. Mm-hmm. Like not even God can feel like he can help you. So we want to know, like, that's just simply a part of the ingredients in your system. It's going to produce hopelessness, despair, depression, and this low levels of living, not wanting to move, isolation. That's what the ingredients and junk actually does. It's producing.
Good
Once
point.
That's out of your system, and it also makes you want to just watch TV and entertainment. So it's really important to know that it's not you. It's just the addiction in your brain that's causing those feelings of hopelessness. You can make a change. And like I said, the smoothie idea, just working on that one habit alone a few times a week, can bring a lot of energy and health and vibrancy to get yourself moving and making better decisions.
In my notes from the last time I had you on, you had three secret reasons you really don't want to lose weight. We never got to that. What are those three reasons people don't want to lose weight?
Oh my gosh, there's actually more than three, but yes, I call it Chubology. Chubology is kind of that psychological reasons why we hold on to the weight as a form of self-protection. Remember, you are body, soul, and spirit.
True.
Okay, the body is what helps us interact with the world around us. You have your soul, which is your psyche, your psychology. God breathed into Adam, became a speaking soul, spirit, you know, personality. And that's your mindset, your intellect, your will, your choices, you know, and your emotions. And then you also have your spirit, your intuitive sense, your sense of consciousness, your godlike nature. So when you're looking at body, soul, spirit, the soul, again, is reflected in the what? The body, right? So the body is kind of the visible picture of what you look like in your soul and your identity. So that soul can go through stuff emotionally, you know, lots of different things. So for example, if you're not comfortable with the opposite sex, if you feel like you are, you know, may have had a sexual stuff in your past, or maybe you, you know, had a bad relationship and you're scared of love, you know, those are some of the reasons that we can actually use weight as a form of self-protection so we feel safe.
Mm.
And that's what I call Chubology. So there are, you know, studies show, you know, if you've had like verbal abuse, for example, in your past, you can feel really unsafe in the world. And so you have a threat there of rejection, you know, of criticism, unwanted attention. You know, these are kinds of types of tubology that why we can hide in our chubby suit, because we just don't know how to deal with attention from the opposite sex, or how to deal with feedback, or how to deal with, you know, sexual lust, you know, unbridled sexual lust, vulnerability, you know, romantic love, you know, rejection. We fear criticism. So there's lots of ways that we attach our soul to these troubleological triggers, you know, and why we regain the weight over and over again when we feel unsafe in our soul.
Good point. No, and I also will tell you, and this was, you know, my end of it was, you know, a lot of different things, you know, lifestyle, even for me, Jendai, being, you know, self-employed from a very early age and, you know, doing probably not. And again, I coach now businesses because I learned a lot of what to not do the wrong way. And I try to pass those life lessons on to people that are now in business, because I did a lot of things the wrong way back in the day. And one of those was just not managing time very well, to where you had the ability to really even eat correctly, packing a lunch, bringing it with you, not eating out fast food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner sometimes, because you know, I'd be at work running my business late at night, so you'd quick run down, grab something, or somebody would pick it up and bring it in, and just over and over and over again, that just became almost really for me, Jendai, not almost, it became a lifestyle where you ate out more than in, and it wasn't good food you were eating out, because it was just quick on the fly, because you felt like you had 100 other things you needed to get done, when I could have just stopped, slowed down a little bit, fed my body the right things, body, soul, as you said a moment ago, and done things correctly. But for me, again, it took getting to that point in life where you sit down and say, I can't keep doing this.
Yeah, exactly. When you get fed up, and you may need to make a list. You know, one of the ways that helped me stop eating fast food 3 times a day and, you know, dealing with the chubby suit was to create a long, long laundry list of all the reasons that I wanted to make a change. And don't just look at it as losing weight, folks. Look at it as being healthy,
yes.
being free.
Yes, thank you.
Being free from the food struggles and body weight shame, and wanting your confidence, you know, wanting to be your best and live your best life is all reasons to make a change. And my list, John, was over 200 items.
Wow.
That list I would review at night. I mean, it was simple stuff, picking up stuff off the floor.
Yes.
Easily.
Yes.
Cleaning my feet, you know, fitting in it.
Tying my shoes.
Tying your shoes with ease, not puffing and puffing.
That's right.
Stairs. Not aching and oh, every time you move.
That's
out of
right.
The chair. I mean, they're basic stuff. Wanting to be your best for your partner.
Jenda, even for me, it was just, how can I get in and out of the car easier? Even little things like that for me were on my list, just like you said.
Yes, exactly. So you want to motivate yourself, and we have to do the motivation with reasons. And so the list of as many reasons as possible on my website, thechubbychurch.com, you can download, if you join the mailing list, you'll get a goodie bag of some links. And then on those links, one of them is called an action plan, and it has exactly what I'm like, the 5 things you need to do to be successful in this journey. So one of them is, you know, your vision and your list of your reasons to keep you motivated. When you strengthen your desire and your vision, you're going to stay on the journey. You're going to get there.
Great point. All right. You've got also the top predictor to weight and eating freedom that every diet and health book leaves out, which, by the way, I've never heard anybody talk about on this program, and I've done health and wellness now for probably 6 to 7 years.
Yeah, and that's going to be your body image. What I mentioned earlier is you liking yourself when you look in the mirror. Body shame is not discussed, and it's a huge a part of what we put in our mouth and how you feel about yourself, how you feel about your physical body, what you think others think about your body, all that contributes to body image. So, for example, if I am down on my body, it's going to affect me for the whole day, okay? If I'm obsessing about my stomach or my thighs or my, you know, calf or whatever,
right.
If you're obsessing about that and it's really causing you to criticize yourself, feel bad about yourself, that's going to affect your relationship. It's going to affect your sexual confidence in your marriage. It's going to affect how you perform at the job. And most of all, it affects how you eat and your eating behavior. If I feel bad, I'm going to, what, quote-unquote, eat bad, even though there's no such thing as a bad food, we talked about. But there's, you know, we're going to eat bad, right, because we project that bad feeling onto bad foods to validate our bad feeling, right? It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
So I want you to just, you know, that what no diet book really talks about is how you feel about your body and chubology that I mentioned and reasons why we may grub. So we want to look at, you know, really healing our body image. And I do that in my book. There's a wonderful prayer. Book one, there's a great prayer. And book two, there's a whole chapter on jumping off the body shame train. So there's a lot there.
You know, and, yeah. And by the way, I appreciate that because I agree. Everything you just said, spot on. And you're right. That is the thing that the majority of diet books don't talk about. I understand there's other you know, life coaches and even wellness coaches that may get into some of that. But in general, the typical diet book that you may pull off the shelf or what have you, you know, they may brush on that, but they're not getting into the depths of it and definitely not giving you the ability to communicate spiritually, if you would, prayer and so on, to actually get over some of those things. Now, question for you. I know there's people out there also listening. They're thinking, wait a minute, John, I'm like you. I'm 100 pounds overweight. I know what my body image is like. How can I look at myself and have a positive image when I know I'm 100 pounds overweight? How do you coach people through that? Because, again, being there myself and knowing that feeling, that's not easy to go through.
Yes, certainly not. So it's, you know, but you know how you took, you know, you made it work. You realize that it didn't come on overnight, the weight, and then it doesn't go off overnight. You are fixing your mindset to be successful, because the issues, right, mental health starts in the mind with distorted thinking.
True.
And when we iron out that thinking that we have to do it all right now, or we have to have this diet that you lose 100 pounds in 3 months, that's where
which, by the way, you know, even if you do that, that's not healthy. So for those of you listening, that's just you may hear stories that way. Trust me, those are stories and that's not real life.
That's right. And it's one day at a time. It's one day at a time of healthy living, one moment at a time. And it's really working on, and that's why you want, no matter what your health plan is right now, these books are health motivation. I don't recommend any specific diet. I do recommend a whole lot more fruits and vegetables and legumes and things like that if that works with your eating plan. But you really want a step-by-step holistic guide. Mm. What's my plan for negative emotion? You know, what's my plan for positive emotions? What's my plan for the birthday party coming up? What
right.
am I going to eat?
Right, thank you.
So the more
yes.
you get in front of these kinds of issues, the more you have that resilience in you, which is in you, built from mm-hmm. Christ. You have this resilience in you to really look at, okay, the choices I've made up until now don't work. The foods or the way I've been eating, the way I've been coping is not working. So I'm going to really take on a life plan. I'm not going to look at changing overnight. I'm looking at making step-by-step, day-by-day choices mm-hmm. to be different and more effective. And really using therapy as a tool as well is super helpful in the journey, because We don't get 100 pounds overweight because we're okay. We get that way because we're negatively coping with
something
that we need to deal with, like disappointments, all kinds of tribology.
Yeah, or even, you know, even so, Jindai, just in my world, and I'm a very disciplined person, but I wasn't in that area. For me, just lack of discipline and just not paying as close of attention to what's going in your mouth that you should be. You know, it could be, you know, typically, yes, there's some emotional things going on, but even there's folks out there where it's just not stopping and being disciplined enough with your eating to not put on those pounds.
Yeah, you're really right there, because it's just, like you said earlier, the time management factor, right? Sometimes we're just rush grabbing and we're not thinking or being intentional about what we're eating. So that's a start, is just thinking about what am I going to eat, right, and when. Having that, if you're already kind of like, what am I having for dinner right now? You're already too late. You're setting yourself up
to
fail.
Good point. Good point. No, yeah, that is 100% correct. And I like what you said earlier, because I had to do the same thing, because unfortunately, and I want to wrap this back into even some of what we do church-wise, Christian-wise, group-wise, and so on, because let's face it, there are times where, and I found this myself, the people that are friends, and they are friends, but what I found is people that were friends, church, things like that, may not have been best for me diet-wise, because a lot of the things that you would go and attend, if you didn't plan ahead, you'd find yourself right back in the trap of eating things you shouldn't have because they were all right there in front of you.
Yep. You really have to decide now what your relationship is going to be with those problem foods and alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, you know, you have to set your mind for lifelong, not temporary, lifelong. Yep. So lifelong, my commitment is I don't, you know, eat refined sugar. That's a lifelong commitment.
Right.
What are my alternatives, right? Or when would I eat, let's say, a little bit in certain incidences, like mm-hmm. a lemonade occasionally mm-hmm. or something like mm-hmm. that. So you really have to have that food plan super clear, and that's going to prevent you from a lot of problems. And sometimes we go on diets, right? We make changes, we get results, but then your chubology strikes and you approach a life situation that goes right back to those binge eating habits and not paying attention.
Yep.
So it's a lifelong thing, like staying, making sure you watch Health and Wellness Wednesdays, right? You listen to Health and Wellness Wednesdays every week.
Good point.
Just for the support and
great
engagement.
Point. Thank you for that. All right. One more segment. I'll come back. And by the way, if you've got a question for Jindai specifically, text me on the text line. I'll get that answered. 307-200-8222. I can do that really quickly, and because I'm going to keep her for one more segment, and then this time goes by super fast, as you all know. But you, again, can find her at thechubbychurch.com as well.
You're listening to Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
All right, we have Jindai Harris with her, and again, she is Chubby Church, the ChubbyChurch.com as the website. We had somebody call a moment ago looking for the website. So thechubbychurch.com. I just went there. You can see everything you need. And great picture, by the way, of Jindai on there as well. So Jindai, again, thank you so much for joining us. And I know also from personal experience, because this is also something that, you know, I struggled with, not just because of my lifestyle and self-employed and just not eating correctly, but genetics in my family. Well, let's just say this. We don't have the skinny gene, quote unquote, in our family. We have the opposite, which is something else that I know a lot of different families out there have to deal with as well. How do you handle that side also?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. What a great point. Our genetics are a major factor in winning the weight and eating war. And it's a battle for sure. Now, I have the same genetics, John. I got serious obesity genetics. It's so easy
yes.
to create fat.
Yes.
It's so easy to create fat. It's hard to digest fat in our family. So when you're checked for your genetics, there's a lot of organizations now that check do nutritional genetics
checks. That's right.
So you can look that up online. You also want to check for addiction in your family and brain. So, for example, my grandma did admit she did smoke when pregnant with my with my mom and her siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes addictive brain, you know. So you have that tendency toward food addiction as well. So you want to address that in getting tested. But also you can just go to your family, you know, reunion and see that.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jindai, you can look at usually, you know, some previous family photos. And, I mean, and here's the thing. We all know that typically people growing up in, you know, the teens, the 20s, the 30s, even the 50s, let's face it, obesity was not a big deal for the majority of people because of their lifestyles. But if you go back and look at family photos and you've got a family that was even chubby in those days, it's genetic, Jindai.
That's right. And we have, it's really an insulin issue. So it's in a way your body processes this.
That's right.
Processed food. So I had to learn, this is one thing I want to get to the audience. If you do have obesity that runs in your family and other health ailments and issues, because you can be skinny and still have a lot of health issues.
True.
Okay?
True.
So
that's right. That's true. Yeah. No, thank you. That just because you can metabolize food and fat and those things quickly, and you may be, you know, having that quote unquote skinny gene, that doesn't mean you're healthy.
That's right. And it's a real misconception.
It is.
Because then we're not thinking about health. We're just thinking about weight. And thinking about weight is vanity. But when you're thinking about your health overall, you're going to get more results and support with everything else. So just know that when something is severe, you got to sever it. When something is severe, there's a scripture that if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off.
Yeah.
Okay? It's what it's saying. Truly, is that if something is that rough, you're going to have to get in your head that my brain is not a normal eater. Mm. And then what happens when we sever certain things that we need to take it out of our diet, take it out of our awareness, say no. Okay. I say no to cake. Okay. So when you say no, it's actually going to help you to sever that thing and become a normal eater. So when we have these ingredients, certain brains just work with them, certain bodies, right? We have to do something different. And it is a little more work. It is a little more work. Coming to terms and acceptance of that you know, you need HIIT workouts. You may need some weights in there. You may, because sometimes you can run a mile a day, and I love running and I love long distance running, but that's really not going to do the job. You know, you may need to do a little weight. You may need to fix some routines. I love Lean TV. Live Lean TV has excellent programs for women and men that get amazing results, and they don't take, you know, they're under an hour a day or less. And so, you know, you may have to fix your routine and just come to terms with you're going to have to, you know, get the habit of meal planning down. You're going to have to sever certain things. You're going to have to come to terms that the family events, you know, you need a plan for some of the family interactions when everybody's eating all the, you know, pork rinds and smothered pork chops and all that other stuff. You may need a plan for your meals and to be that health and wellness advocate in your family. So everyone has somebody in their family who's like the healthiest one of the bunch. Be that person. Be the person who brings the greens, has the fruit, bring something alternative to eat and consume so that the family can start to grow and be healthy together.
You know, and great point, because this is something that, especially when you're trying to even teach, you know, young people, and, you know, the other thing I know is those things, you know, our bodies, I should say, not those things, but the things that we eat when we're young, we may not be able to do when we're old, as well as trying to get at, because our bodies do change. I know for me, as soon as I got out of high school, even, and of course, your activity starts to change. I wasn't playing football any longer. You're not doing two-a-days and all the other things that you do while you're that active. You're working. You're, in my case, working. And then later on, you get married and then you start having your own family and all sorts of things start to change. But we want to provide that healthy lifestyle to the next generations, plural. And to your point a moment ago, break that genetic gene. And I know the gene can't be broken, but the way we handle the gene can be broken with our ongoing generations if we do that correctly now, right?
Yeah, that's so true. And when kids learn health, like when you learn, and you can learn it together, you cook together, cooking, you know, a healthy meal, a salad, right? Showing them some healthy dishes that they can make. They really adapt to it. So what's so great about kids is they love to learn. Mm. And so when you're showing them how to make a healthy style pizza, okay, with maybe a different spelt flour or some other thing, you can make alternatives, so it's not the high fatty, you know, stuff that you're just high sodium, super, super, super high fat content stuff you may order and get addicted to. When you make it yourself at home, now they have a way to kind of think healthier. When they learn these nutritional tips early, they can, because food addicts, here's the other thing about obesity families, is that food addicts are just going to raise other food addicts, right?
True.
If I don't overcome, I'm going to teach it to my next, you know, the generation.
Yep.
And the problem with that is the kids today are going to be, are fighting a lot more like diabetes, hypertension, heart disease at early ages. And some children will die before their parents. It's a very serious issue. The food culture in America is a very serious issue for your family.
Yep.
And it's not okay, you know, you can make alternative types of popcorn when you're watching family events, right? Not the microwavable stuff, but a healthy stuff that you pop from scratch is going to save you on chemicals, additives, you know, heart disease type stuff. So, yeah, there's lots of simple things you can do. If you need any help, please contact me. I have another consultant who works with family meal planning. You can contact me at thechubbychurch.com.
Okay, perfect. Jendai, again, I appreciate you taking extra time with us today, and I'll have you back on a regular basis. I do this with other folks, and I'm doing my best to try to put really kind of an ensemble of people that we have on a routine basis that really – you know, this is health and wellness. This is education. It's trying to get people to another level. And I guess, again, because of my own, you know, personal background and what I went through, I just know, and everything you said a moment ago, how we live healthier, which, by the way, we have you know, bodies that have been given to us by, you know, our Lord, by the Creator, and we should be respectful of those and taking care of them and doing everything we possibly can to, by the way, the best thing He gave us is our own body, our own life, and we should be taking care of that to the best of our ability to honor Him.
Right. Only whom you never move from is physical body. You never move from it.
That's right.
You have to stay in the death of you part. So
that's right.
It's a temple of the living God. So absolutely love it, John. Happy to come back.
Jendai, thank you. We'll have you back. And thank you again for what you do and for, you know, being with us in Colorado as well. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Jendai. Take care. And again, folks, you can go to thechubbychurch.com.